Welcome to another edition of the Star Podcast, presented by InsideTheStar.com. My name is Bryson Treese, and today what we've got lined up for you is a complete first-round mock draft for the 2017 NFL Draft. And it has not been easy getting here. There's been a lot of planning going into this, and we are having a little bit of fun with it. So bear with us, and I hope you enjoy it and learn something. Most of all, I hope you learn something. With me, I've got three InsideTheStar.com staff writers that are going to help me out with this. We've got Kevin Brady. How are you doing?
Doing good. Excited to get into this.
Awesome. Jess Haney, how are you?
Good, man. Let's mock away.
Mock, mock, mock. Sean Martin, what's up, brother?
I am trusting this process. What's going on, guys?
Trust the process. Yes, that is a very smart thing there. All right, let's go ahead and cover real quickly just what our format is. We've got three guys here that are all going to mock. I'm just going to help guide everybody through, and that's it. It's going to be Kevin, Sean, and Jess in that order. They're going to rotate through the picks, meaning Kevin's got number one, Sean number two, Jess number three. And we're going to go through, we're going to discuss the picks a little bit. We've got our big board lined up. We've got our pick tracker lined up, and we are hopefully all set to go. All right. Of course, we're only going to do it quickly when it comes to the other picks because, let's face it, it's the first round. Everybody knows everybody in the first round, so it's not going to take that long. When we do get to the Dallas Cowboys pick, whether that ends up being on this episode or we continue this with a part two, it is going to break out of that format, and we're probably going to spend 10, 15 minutes talking about all the different picks and things that are going on because, hey, we're a Cowboys podcast, so that's how we're going to roll. I've got music that's going to play out that is going to time each of the picks. The clock is 3 minutes per pick, all right? The music's going to be subtle and kind of in the background, but it does have a pretty jarring buzzer at the end, so if anybody does happen to make it that long, again, with the exception of pick number 28, that will not be timed. Then everybody's going to know about it, and we're going to move on. All right, so simple, done and done. Let's go ahead and move on and get started. Kevin, number one, Cleveland Browns. You are on the clock, man. What do the Cleveland Browns need?
Everything. The Browns are in the middle of a pretty significant rebuild right now, and their biggest needs are at the most important positions in the league, and that's at quarterback, and that's at pass rusher, defensive end, edge rusher. Luckily for them, the best player in this entire class is an edge rusher, and there have been some rumblings about possibly taking a quarterback, considering that right now it's between Cody Kessler and Brock Osweiler. I'm going to take, out of Texas A&M, defensive end Myles Garrett, as he's the best player available, and with two first-round picks, I think that makes the most sense for the Browns.
What do you think about that, Sean? What do you think about Myles Garrett? I mean, I know he's a guy that the Cowboys fans really want, so I know you really want him, but what do you think about him going to Cleveland?
Yeah, no doubt an easy pick for the Cleveland Browns. It comes to his position, pass rusher, and you need those in the NFL right now to win. The Browns need everything, so why not go take a pass rusher that can come make a huge immediate impact? Myles Garrett just does it all on the edge. An easy number one overall pick for Kevin and the Browns right there.
Jess, you agree with that?
Absolutely. I wish we could get him.
Yeah, right. I don't see Jerry Jones even being able to pull off that trade, though. But, all right, so let's go on to pick number two, and that's going to put Sean Martin on the board for San Francisco 49ers. Sean, your clock starts. What do the San Francisco 49ers need to get out of this draft?
New regime there in San Francisco, of course. You have John Lynch as your general manager, and the head coach now is Kyle Shanahan, an offensive-minded guy who sees a team that clearly has needs on the offensive side of the ball, not only at quarterback, where I'm not going to feel comfortable taking a quarterback here at two, but they need a quarterback, and they're going to need receivers and guys to help out whoever is the future at quarterback. And then defensively, it's really a mess right now trying to transition into a 4-3 front. They have some pieces on the line, but they need a whole new secondary and some linebackers as well. And there's areas that you can look at on the defensive side of the ball to upgrade. So I think that's where I'm going to look, as my pick is in, and I'm going to go ahead and take Ohio State's Malik Hooker with the second overall pick, a guy that can get the ball back into Shanahan's offense's hands, turn the ball over for us at free safety, really a dynamic talent out of Ohio State, Malik Hooker.
Absolutely. I've heard good things about Malik Hooker. I do worry a little bit about San Francisco's offensive needs, especially at quarterback with a couple of free agents coming off the board. But, hey, they're still available, so who knows what happens with that. Kevin, what do you think about Malik Hooker going to San Fran?
I love the pick. To be honest, I thought Sean was going to go with Stanford's Solomon Thomas, who now falls maybe right into Chicago's lap. We'll see how Jess plays that. But Malik Hooker is the second highest graded player on my draft board, right behind Myles Garrett. So he falls right where I would have had him.
All right, well, Jess, let's go ahead and get your answer to that. But first, let's go ahead and put you on the clock with Chicago Bears at the number 3 overall pick. You're on the clock now, but what do you think about Malik Hooker going out there, and does Solomon Thomas now fall into your lap?
Well, yes and yes. I think Malik Hooker is a really exceptional safety prospect. There was a point where when he was going to have to miss the combine and other pre-draft activities, I was hoping maybe he could fall somewhere in the range that the Cowboys might have a shot at him. But he's very, very good. 2 is high for a safety in any draft. Some people might, their eyebrows might go up at that. But for talent like his and in this class, I think it's a worthy pick.
I tend to agree with that. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, I think that this is a player that you have to look at outside of his position. Just look what he brings to a defense. I think he can come in as a rookie and get turnovers right away, which is obviously huge. And he can also tackle, support the run, really just be a veteran guy over his next couple of years. You know, we bring him in here, he's going to have a good work ethic, and then over the next couple of years, be a guy that we count on to just go make a ton of plays. Malik Hooker is well worth the second overall pick right behind Myles Garrett.
All right, so Jess takes defensive end Solomon Thomas for the Chicago Bears. That's a good pick out of Stanford. And we're going to move on here, and we're back to Kevin with the number 4 pick, and that's going to be for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Kevin, you are on the clock now. I'd like to know a little bit about what you think the Jaguars are looking for in this year's draft.
Yeah, so the Jaguars have spent a lot of both draft capital and real capital money on the defensive side of the ball the last couple of off seasons. This year, they brought in cornerback A.J. Boye. They bring in defensive lineman Calais Campbell and former Cowboys safety Barry Church, and gave all three of them pretty significant contracts. Drafted Jalen Ramsey last year. With all these moves, I don't see them drafting a defensive player this high with the 4th overall pick. So I'm looking for someone to help out Blake Bortles, give some offensive help. So I'm going to take Alabama tight end O.J. Howard. And maybe 4 is a little rich for a tight end, but he's the best offensive player in this draft class, in my opinion. And I think he can be that security blanket and a vertical threat for Blake Bortles.
Alrighty, and what do you think about that, Jess? What do you think about a tight end going at number 4?
Ooh, that's definitely going to get some ire raised if it were to happen on draft day. But there's no question that O.J. Howard looks like a guy who has special talent and at a position that just keeps increasing in value, it seems like, every year in the NFL. So, I mean, a shift in the draft priority for tight end would be in keeping with the shift in the role of the tight end in passing offenses.
Well, and Sean, I mean, what do you think about this so far? We've got the first 4 picks, and we got 2 defensive ends, a safety, and a tight end before we've got a quarterback or a running back off the board.
I think it just says a lot about the quarterback class, Bryson. You know, I think that these quarterbacks just aren't worth these picks, and on top of that, I think that the players that we've seen come off the board so far are worthy of their draft position. Maybe, you know, a pick or two too high, of course, on a guy like Hooker or Howard, but nonetheless, if you're one of these teams up in the top 5 or 10 wanting to grab one of these talents, you have to go ahead and do it. We saw the Cowboys go ahead and do that with Ezekiel Elliott last year. Look how that worked out. The Jaguars need to fix their offense. Why not take a guy like O.J. Howard? Solomon Thomas is a steal at 3 for the Chicago Bears, and then Hooker and Garrett are bored so far with no quarterbacks. It really doesn't surprise me.
All right, and moving on to your next pick. You're on the clock right now with the Tennessee Titans at number 5. Who are you looking at for Tennessee?
Yeah, this is a very interesting draft for the Tennessee Titans, guys, because they have those 2 picks high in this round, and you could probably say they're ahead of schedule, if you will, when it comes to contending over in the AFC South and, you know, in the AFC as a whole someday soon with Marcus Mariota at quarterback. His offense still has some needs. Their offensive line is very strong. They could use help at receiver. Do I reach on another receiver here? Do I look at a defense that's going to need a turnaround, much like the offense is turning around, and some defensive talent still left on this board, particularly in the secondary? I think it's where I have to look. So the pick is in, and I'm going to go ahead and take Marshon Lattimore, cornerback out of Ohio State. I think he's another guy that has an incredibly high ceiling and also ground 4 type of player that's going to come in here and be a number 1 cornerback for a Titans team that desperately lacks that. You have to go against Andrew Luck and some high-powered offenses in this division, so I'll take Marshon Lattimore running around in my secondary all day long.
What do you think about that, Kevin?
Yeah, Marshon Lattimore is definitely cornerback 1 in this class, and he's a guy that some people even compare to Darrell Revis as his ceiling. So if you can get that fifth overall, I think you have to jump on it.
All right, and Jess, you are up next with number six, and that's going to be for the New York Football Jets. And speaking of quarterbacks not going yet, you're on the clock now. Are you going to go quarterback?
That's an interesting question and something I'm having to think about here as I'm looking at who's there and who isn't. I'll tell you what, you might need to come back to me.
Well, Kevin, let's go ahead and pick up with you. What do you think the Jets should be looking at this year in the draft?
Well, quarterback, probably first and foremost, right? I mean, they have drafted Christian Hackenberg and Bryce Petty the last couple of seasons, but I don't think either one of them is the answer. And I don't think either one of them is a franchise quarterback. They've been linked to a few quarterbacks in this draft, such as Clemson's Deshaun Watson, North Carolina's Mitchell Trubisky. I'm not a huge fan of Trubisky, but it makes sense here for the Jets. They tend to draft players with skill sets similar to Trubisky's. So I think the Jets might go that way here. They might look at a quarterback.
What about you, Sean? Thinking the same way?
No, I would feel quite bad for Jets fans. I know Kevin and I are both here in New Jersey, surrounded by them at times. If they went with a quarterback at the sixth overall pick in this draft, I think that there's still so much defensive talent that we're all watching slide at this point. And it's just not a situation with this roster, or this head coach, or this GM. Anywhere on this team, it's not a situation to bring in a young rookie quarterback right now to succeed. It's not a formula for success to reach out a quarterback right now.
I do have to add that as the general manager of the Chargers, I am praying the Jets take a quarterback right now.
We all slide these other players down the board. Well, I want to touch these quarterbacks.
I hate to break it to you, but they are not. And
trade me to pick.
With the sixth pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Jets are going to take Jamal Adams, safety, out of LSU.
Smart.
Safety, really?
Yep. Just in looking at their needs, the talent available, and really what is going to be the story of this draft, which is that these quarterbacks are not exciting anybody. And for the investment of a sixth overall pick, the Jets aren't going to blow that on a quarterback that they don't really believe in. And I just don't think you can really believe in any of these guys with these high picks.
Yeah, and you've got to be very careful when you're the Jets because they have tested that out a few times in recent years. So, alrighty, so we've got Jamal Adams, a safety, going to the Jets, and that moves us on to pick number seven for Kevin Brady and the L.A. Chargers. And I really want to say San Diego Chargers still. L.A. Chargers. I'm going to say that in my head like a mantra till I remember it. For the L.A. Chargers, who do you got that you're looking at? You're on the clock.
Well, the Chargers desperately need a free safety and probably a cornerback, that number one cornerback. So two of the top guys that I had on my board here for the Chargers were Malik Hooker, who I thought was going to fall to seven, and Marshon Lattimore, who had a good idea that he wasn't going to be there. They could also use some offensive line help. They can use some help in a lot of areas. Maybe Leonard Fournette at LSU to help there, but they have Melvin Gordon, so I'm not going to reach for a running back. So with the seventh overall pick, he's fallen to me, so I got to take him. Defensive line help for the Chargers, and that's Alabama's Jonathan Allen.
Why are you picking him? That's the thing I want to know. Why are you going with Jonathan Allen? Because there's other good defensive ends in this draft.
There are, and there's more probably explosive defensive ends on this board. And if it wasn't for some motor stuff or off-the-field stuff, I think Malik McDowell might even see himself as a seventh overall pick to the Chargers. But Jonathan Allen is just a really good football player. And while the measurables weren't great, the combine wasn't, you know, it didn't jump off the page to you, the tape is the tape. And Jonathan Allen is a real good player. And I think he's a top at least 15 player in this class. And I think he's worthy of a top 10 pick, even though he might have to play at three technique at times based on his athletic profile.
All right, Jess, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree with the pick on Allen. It's definitely not sexy, but it's smart. It's talent, probably the best talent available at the pick at a position of need. You get those guys who can be anchors in a 3-4 defense. Those really strong defensive ends. Maybe not a J.J. Watt, but a guy who's in there for the next 10 years, and you're happy with that.
All right, so through seven picks so far, six of them have been defense with a bit of a shocker tight end at number four, but three of them have been defensive ends as Sean steps up onto the clock at number eight for the Carolina Panthers. Sean, what do the Panthers need?
It's pretty wild to think how quick these rosters turn over in the NFL, but how far we are removed from talking about the Panthers as having one of the league's best defense. They have a ton of needs on the defensive side of the ball right now, and you know, Jonathan Allen wasn't going to slide much further. One more pick, and he would have been my pick here at eight, of course, for the Carolina Panthers. But nonetheless, there's defensive talent that I have to look at. It's just a matter of the position at this point. Allen, of course, his best rosters come as that free technique defensive tackle. So do I go to another edge player I have on my board, reach on an edge player potentially? Or do I, you know, try to go onto the offensive side of things, look at running back even? There's running back talent to be had in the first round of this draft. And then in the secondary, but I think I need to focus on this defensive line. Panthers fans are going to want it to be the secondary. I realize that. But I'm higher than most on this player. I think he can make a really big difference on day one and then develop into a long-term starter at defensive end. Give me Tennessee pass rusher Derek Barnett.
Kevin, what do you think of Derek Barnett going out to Carolina?
Similar to Jonathan Allen in the sense that, not that they're similar players, but in the sense that they don't jump off the page in shorts and a t-shirt just because they don't test as well. And you're not going to have, like, you have guys in this draft like a Takaris McKinley out of UCLA that is like, you know, he's so raw and what can we develop him into? His ceiling is so high. But Derek Barnett's ceiling is maybe not as high as those guys, but his floor is much higher in the sense that you're just getting a really good football player and you're getting a guy that's going to get a lot of effort sacks. He's got one good inside counter move. I like to see him develop more of his pass rush repertoire. But regardless, it's a solid pick. Carolina could have looked offense as well, though.
Jess, I want to get your opinion on Derek Barnett going to Carolina. But first, I'm going to put you on the clock and see what you've got for the Cincinnati Bengals at number nine.
Well, as the Bengals representative tonight, I'm very happy with the pick that Sean just made because I think that a more explosive pass rushing talent has just fallen to me. And you know, sometimes with the Bengals, we think that they've already got a great defensive line because they've got Carlos Dunlap, they've got Geno Atkins, but they still have struggled to get to the quarterback. And apparently they need one more guy to sort of help push them over the edge. And for that, I will be taking Takaris McKinley from UCLA.
Alrighty, and that's a big name, of course. We've all been hearing a lot. I'm surprised to see him make it as far as he did. What do you like about McKinley?
Just the athleticism. It's something that as we continue to evolve, see the NFL evolve, we're seeing these pass rushers getting more and more athletic, and we're seeing the offensive tackles also becoming better athletes in like kind. So the days of, you know, 4-3 defensive ends all being like over 260, 270 pounds are over. You can have a guy who's a little smaller like McKinley, but still be a real force in a 4-3.
And Kevin, I know I've seen you speaking out about McKinley a lot in our Discord server for the site. So what do you think about him?
As I mentioned, when Barnett just got taken off the board, I love tack ceiling. And while right now he's sort of raw as a rusher, he almost forgets that he has hands at sometimes, it looks like. But I think that if he gets with a good defensive line coach and he learns how to rush the passer more, and because right now when you watch him in college, he kind of relies on his athletic ability a lot. When he learns how to really play, you're going to see he's going to be a really, really good player.
All righty, and let's go ahead and move on to your pick next. It's number 10 for the Buffalo Bills. What are you looking at there? You're on the clock.
Well, so the Bills lost Stephon Gilmore this offseason, which makes me think they need a cornerback. But at the same time, there will be a second round to this thing in real life. And with this deep cornerback class, I think picking early in the second round, they can get a defensive back. They made the smart decision, in my opinion, to keep Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback. So I'm not going to look quarterback. Instead, I'm going to look for help for Tyrod Taylor. Sammy Watkins is already there as maybe a true X receiver, which had me thinking that John Ross would be the pick here out of Washington. But since he's fallen to me, I think Corey Davis, wide receiver out of Western Michigan, best receiver probably on the board right now, and he's going to be my pick.
All right, Sean, what do you think about Corey Davis going to the Bills?
He's the best receiver in this draft, so Kevin hit the nail right on the head there when it comes to trying to stack these guys up. If the Bills do want a receiver, and, you know, it's interesting if they do want that Z-type receiver as well, because I think this is a great draft to go get a Z number two type receiver. I don't know if you can get many number one receivers, and you can also probably make the case for the Buffalo Bills that Sammy Watkins hasn't been on the field enough to establish himself as that number one receiver that you want to see. But nonetheless, if they get Watkins on the field with Tyrod Taylor, great. They can get Corey Davis into a wide receiver one type of role over his time now. He does everything. He's explosive with the ball in his hands, runs incredibly clean routes, and I don't care at all about him not being able to perform at the combine or anything like that with his injuries. When Corey Davis gets on the field, he's going to be a good pro.
What do you think about Corey Davis, Jess?
I like it. I feel like the Bills, if you can pair him with Sammy Watkins and really get a strong nucleus of talent there around Tyrod Taylor, who I think really has become one of the more underappreciated quarterback talents in the NFL. He's a guy who has looked good when the circumstances around him are good, and I think adding another weapon there for him could be big for Buffalo.
All righty. Yeah, I do like Tyrod Taylor there, too, so I like giving him another option to go to. All right, Sean, it's pick number 11 for the New Orleans Saints, and you are on the clock.
Yeah, the Saints, a team that are going to look at this first round as hopefully an opportunity to really upgrade this defense. I mean, it doesn't get much worse. In fact, it can't get much worse than being last in the league in points allowed per game. That was the New Orleans Saints under, of course, Drew Brees, who we know about, and Sean Payton, who we know about, as two guys that have kept this team as relevant as they can be with the defense being in the state that it is. So there's a few interesting prospects, you know, at this point on the board for defensive players. A few guys that haven't fallen to me, of course, as kind of best case scenario picks. And, you know, I think it really comes down to the locking in on a secondary player. McKinley and Barnett, of course, are both gone, Barnett being my own pick to the Carolina Panthers. And I'm looking at two guys in particular, Garyon Conley, another Ohio State secondary player, if you can believe that, cornerback out of Ohio State, Garyon Conley, who you're not going to be stunned by his ceiling as an NFL prospect, but he's going to come in on the four level and just be a really good cover guy. And then I'm also interested in Buda Baker. I just like his fit with the Saints defense, his safety out of Washington there, who flies around. I'm not as high on Baker just as a draft analyst as some, but I think it, with the Saints and the way they've built this defense, especially the front seven, it has some athleticism to it, an unproven front seven, but I think he can fly around and help this team make some plays, and I think I am going to go ahead and pull the trigger on Buda Baker, safety, Washington.
He's one of those guys, and I'll admit I'm not a huge draft nut, so I don't follow this stuff like you guys do, but Buda Baker's one of those names that I see around every corner. Kevin, what do you think about Buda Baker to the Saints?
I like Buda Baker a lot, and he's actually, personally, I think he's the second or third best safety in this class, and I love his fit in New Orleans. I actually am assigned the 32nd overall pick for the Saints, and I have Buda Baker on my board there, so I like the pickup for the Saints.
All right, well, that works out good. Jess, what do you think about him?
It's going to be a reach that early in the draft for a lot of people that'll say it, but honestly, sometimes we get way too caught up in that. He by most counts, most rankings lists you look at, would be the next best safety on the board. So, I mean, if you can't always control when your pick is. If the Saints were picking later in the first round and got him, no one would say anything about it. So, just because they're picking here, if he's the next guy up and this is what you need, take him.
All right. Well, speaking of taking your picks as they come, number 12 is back up to the Cleveland Browns. And, Jess, that's you this time. What do you got?
Well, I've got a very happy Cleveland team who has seen all of the available quarterbacks fall right out of the top 10 and back to them at their second pick. They got the top defensive guy in the draft at number one, and now they can go ahead and feel good about taking Mitchell Trubisky from North Carolina as their next failed first-round quarterback.
Yeah, you are just, like, exuding confidence, dude. You're going to get some on me. Stop it.
I feel like these quarterbacks are suspect. Any quarterback going to Cleveland gets an extra layer of suspect thrown on them. But Trubisky is definitely the best in this class, and getting him at 12 is still in some ways a steal. Just the sheer principle of being able to get the best quarterback in any draft class that later in the draft is something they can't be too upset about. I really did wrestle with Trubisky versus Watson at that pick.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I mean, I've seen a lot of mixed things about it. Sean, I know you've had some mixed things to say about Trubisky. What do you think of that pick?
I really like Mitchell Trubisky as the top quarterback in this draft. As, in my eyes, I think really the only quarterback that you can expect significant contributions from if you need to plug him in as a day one starter, which of course the Browns have needed to do with all of these guys that they've went ahead and added at the carousel of quarterbacks, if you will. So I love Mitchell Trubisky. He's a fit at 12 for the Cleveland Browns, and you know, we're even hearing some rumblings about how they're going to consider him all the way up at 1, and so even if they're not, and of course the first pick in this mock was rightfully so, Myles Garrett, they turn around at 12 and they sell to their fans that they landed two players that they were personally very high on. I don't know how much that means, you know, the Browns saying that they're high on a draft prospect because they don't hit on many picks, but at least in my eyes, they've hit on their first two picks of this first round.
Yeah, and I do kind of like the fact that they didn't go quarterback with the number one overall pick. It tells me maybe somebody there is getting a clue about how they approach their draft strategy. But Kevin, you are on the board at number 13 with the Arizona Cardinals, and the clock starts now. What are you looking at for the Cards?
There's a lot of good options left here for Arizona. It's really fallen their way. And with Carson Palmer probably out the door after this season, maybe next season, You might want to take a project quarterback. I personally think it might be a little too early for that, even though I would love to see Notre Dame's DeShone Kizer go there and sit a year and work with Bruce Arians. I think that'd be a great opportunity for him. Still, I don't see them doing that, and I don't know if I'm comfortable doing that with the 13th overall pick. With Larry Fitzgerald going to be out the door after this season, maybe Mike Williams out of Clemson, get another number one receiver. But I'm going to take linebacker Reuben Foster out of Alabama, a top five player to me in this class, falls to 13, and it's a position in need for the Cardinals.
All righty, Reuben Foster. Jess, what do you think about Foster in Arizona?
I think it's a good pick. I agree with all of Kevin's analysis there of what the Cardinals could do. It certainly would be an interesting time for them to look at a young quarterback to groom behind, you know, the final days of Palmer, but Foster is a guy you can stick right in the middle of that defense, which still has a lot of talent on it, especially in that secondary. So if you can add some more talent to the front seven, they should be able to contend in that division with Seattle kind of starting to be on shaky ground.
All right, Mr. Martin, I know we're all Cowboys fans here, and, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles are up next, so, try not to tank them too bad there. At number 14, you're on the clock for the Eagles. What are you looking at, sir?
And we all understand, you know, what this Eagles team needs to go ahead and lose to Dak Prescott and the Cowboys for a few more seasons, but they have needs on the defensive side of the ball still. Their defense was strong, there's no doubt about that, under Jim Schwartz, but they can add some depth to their secondary in a draft that warrants doing that really at any point, either here in the first round or throughout. And then offensively, you know, what's Carson Wentz going to be is, of course, not only an Eagles question, but an NFL-wide question for these young quarterbacks. We don't really have a great idea of Wentz, but we do have a great idea that, you know, they're committed to him, of course. They added so many receivers around him, and so that kind of takes wide receiver out of play here. Really focuses in on two spots, running back, where there's a player, of course, still left high on this board, or sifting over to that defense. You know what? I'm going to trust Jim Schwartz. I'm going to trust that I can find some defenders and some secondary players later on in this draft, even though there's some guys I really don't want to pass up on right now. And I'm also going to perhaps make a bit of a shakeup when it comes to the stack at running back, though. So I want a running back for Carson Wentz to take this offense to the next level. Go ahead and give me, in my eyes, RB1 in this class, Dalvin Cook, Florida State.
Dalvin Cook of Florida State. I do like that pick. I know the Eagles have they have really had a carousel of running backs the last couple of years, and I mean, Matthews just really isn't doing a lot. Sproles looks good when they give him time, but they don't give him a lot of time. Kevin, what are you thinking about Cook there?
Yeah, I think it's a good pick, solid pick. I think it's going to come down to the Eagles between Cook, McCaffrey at Stanford, and maybe a corner because they definitely need defensive back help. And, you know, they could also use the number one receiver for Carson Wentz. But I really like the Dalvin Cook pick. I think he's probably the best offensive player on the board. So there it is.
All righty. And next up on the board, we got the Indianapolis Colts with the 15th overall pick. And Mr. Haney, you are up and on the clock.
It's an interesting thing here for the Colts because I was starting to think I would go running back with them in this first round, but here we are. Cook just came off the board, but you've still got Fournette, McCaffrey, several other guys out there to where I think I can probably wait till the second round to get a running back. So, with that being the case, I'm going to go to another critical need for the Colts, which is the defensive line, and I am going to take Taco Charlton from Michigan.
Taco Charlton from Michigan. All right, all right. Sean, what do you think about Charlton going off the board to Indy?
Yeah, I don't like it right there at 15. You know, my scouting partner up at Montclair State, Nick Flaherty, wouldn't be happy with this pick as a huge Colts fan. Taco Charlton looks the part of a pretty good, if not a dominant, Michigan prospect as a pass rusher in the NFL, but, you know, trusting the tape on him, he's a guy that doesn't make that many flashes. He has some traits, and he has some traits that I also think can project, you know, to get better and be a long-term player as a speed rusher that can capture the corner pretty consistently. He can sharpen pretty well and get back to the football, but nonetheless, I don't think that there's enough there right now, especially with some other defensive ends on the board, my biggest issue with this pick, to go ahead and take Taco Charlton at 15.
All right, and Kevin, you're up next. We got the Baltimore Ravens at number 16. And who are you looking at for Baltimore?
The Ravens, with Terrell Suggs on the decline, could use another dominant edge rusher. I think it could probably be argued they could draft a right tackle, even though 16th overall to look right tackle is probably too rich. So with two of the top three receivers still on the board, I think I'm going to give Joe Flacco a weapon, and I think I'm going to draft Mike Williams out of Clemson.
Williams out of Clemson. Jess, you like that pick?
I do. I was actually looking at Williams for my next pick with the Titans. Yeah, it's the talent there for Mike Williams at 16. That's pretty good. He's a guy that many people would say is the number one receiver in this class. Could see him going a lot higher. And, yeah, Flacco definitely needs some help over there.
Yes, he does. He's needed some help at wide receiver for quite a bit there. All right, Sean, you're up next for the Washington Redskins, and you guys may pick up on something here. With the random draw, and I really did draw this randomly, Sean has wound up with the entire NFC East, the Eagles, Redskins, and the Giants. So he gets to decide a lot of the Cowboys' fate tonight. Washington Redskins at number 17, you're on the clock. Sean, go.
Yeah, am I doing a good enough job tanking the NFC East for us, guys? I'm trying to window dress this board, as Brian Bartis would say, but nonetheless, the Washington Redskins, a team that we all agree has had a horrible offseason just from a front office standpoint and a personnel standpoint as well. Kirk Cousins is back. We know that much. And around that, you have to look at some needs on offense for this Washington team, running back, wide receiver as well, to really just make this offense even stronger, because this is a Redskins team that's dangerous. I mean, when Kirk Cousins is playing well, the offense scares people and puts up points and helps out a defense that, of course, has its own needs. Defensive tackle, edge rusher, maybe, even though I don't see anybody on the board at edge rusher right now that I'm going to look at. But defensive tackle definitely could be get intriguing. And then staying in the front seven, I think that there's some linebackers as well. But Washington Redskins on the board with the 17th overall pick. I see a player that can really help out Kirk Cousins and a player that I think we all like as well. So I'm going to go ahead and take yet another running back onto another NFC East team. We're all following the Cowboys from 2016. Christian McCaffrey, running back, you know, slash wide receiver, out of Stanford to the Redskins.
Christian McCaffrey to the Redskins. I definitely like that pick. They need to up their running game a little bit there. Kevin, how do you think about that?
Really good pick. I think really strong value at 17th overall. McCaffrey, while he doesn't look the part in some ways of like a Leonard Fournette, that big bruising running back, he's the modern day running back, and he's the modern day offensive weapon, and he's going to fit in really nicely in Washington.
Yeah, and I've been wondering about that too, as Sean is quietly texting me here that he passed on Fournette, not realizing he was there. Leonard Fournette, I'm surprised to see him there. The board we're working off of, he is rated number one. And whose board is this again?
Optimum Scouting.
Optimum Scouting. We're going off Optimum Scouting's board. And this board is updated about a week and a half ago, so they may have done something different to it. But
only the Washington front office could forget that a player was still available.
If I was running the Redskins front office anyway, we all know here, it's no secret if you follow me on Twitter or anything like that, that I'm not all that high on Fournette anyway. I'll even say that I think McCaffrey, if I can get his maximum potential as a receiver, we don't know if his receiving game is going to translate, you know, all that well in the NFL, but if I get the receiver that he was at Stanford, he's a better player than for this Redskins team than what Leonard Fournette can be. I'll go ahead and say that.
You've been drinking, Sean? That's a problem in Washington.
And a problem here in Jersey.
I knew someone was going to bring that up. That's right. So, with Fournette's report getting lost by somebody having a few too many to drink, let's go ahead and move on to Jess, who is back on the board with Tennessee at number 18.
The run on offensive players continues, and it will now fall to the star of the NFL Scouting Combine in 2017, 40-yard dash champion John Ross at wide receiver.
You know, and I've been waiting for somebody to pick him. John, what do you think of John Ross going to Tennessee?
Marcus Mariota is going to love playing with John Ross, therefore the Tennessee Titans. He is a speed-burning receiver, as Jess Haney pointed out here, with his 40-yard dash time, of course, and you know, Ross, a guy is just going to help this Titans offense continue to be one of the more innovative and intriguing offenses in the entire NFL. They call it this kind of spread but ground and pound offense at the same time. They have DeMarco Murray, a former Cowboy, of course, and Derrick Henry, a guy they're excited about pounding the ball at running back, but they can spread the field as well. Now they have some more talent to spread that field with, and John Ross can get vertical and can also run underneath pretty well, has some shiftiness to him, and Mariota's going to get him the ball a lot.
Last year, the emergence of Tyreek Hill in Kansas City is helping John Ross's stock tremendously in this draft as just a pure speed offensive weapon.
All righty. Well, let's go to another team with a young quarterback and Mr. Winston here. Kevin, you're on the board now at number 19 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, so the way the board has fallen so far, there actually hasn't been an offensive lineman taken. And luckily for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because their biggest need is left tackle, and at least in my opinion, their biggest need is left tackle. They need to bring in a franchise left tackle. They have Mike Evans on the outside. They just brought in DeSean Jackson. Obviously, Jameis Winston at quarterback is their future. So I'm going to take Alabama offensive tackle Cam Robinson, who I think has the highest ceiling of any tackle in this draft.
All right, Sean, what do you think of taking Robinson over Lamp?
Yeah, I know Kevin and I really like Cam Robinson. Of course, him and Lamp project to different positions in the NFL. They both did play left tackle at their respective colleges coming out of Alabama and Western Kentucky. But we all love Forrest Lamp. We all love Lamp as a guard prospect, of course, and projects kind of like Zach Martin out of Notre Dame. Cam Robinson, meanwhile, a true left tackle with a lot of traits to be really good, can mirror edge rushers, strong hands. A lot of people have some concerns about him. I don't, though, and I trust that Kevin made a good pick right there, bringing Cam Robinson into a Tampa Bay team that can use him.
All righty, and continuing with you, Sean, for the number 20th pick, you've got the Denver Broncos, and I want to know exactly how you think you're going to make that team better and get them back to the Super Bowl.
This is another team that could use an offensive tackle, and perhaps we see a run on offensive linemen in this draft, and they're relatively strong at the same time on the interior of the offensive line, so Forrest Lamp's side will continue, at least for now, though. Defensively, we all know how ferocious this defense is with their edge rushers, but they can use some depth in the front seven. The secondary, I think, is fine, and I'm not seeing any players that I'd be willing to go to right now in the secondary. So it's really all on this offense for John Elway to try to make a pick to help out an offense that doesn't have a set future at quarterback, but nonetheless, whoever that quarterback is, he's going to need protection. So I think I'm going to stick with this run of offensive linemen and go ahead and take Wisconsin offensive tackle Ryan Ramczyk.
Ryan Ramczyk going to the Broncos, and of course that joins with some offensive help they've gotten from the Cowboys this year. Jess, what are you thinking about Ramczyk going there?
That makes sense, and like you just said, it's a move in coupling with the things they did in free agency to solidify the offensive line, because they didn't go after Tony Romo. They're going to trust in Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian to get them there, and those guys need blockers to help them out.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Jess, let's go ahead and keep going with you. Now we're going to the Detroit Lions, who, I don't know, just in my lifetime in football, it seems like they've gone from, you know, pretty high to bottom of the basement. Now they're coming back up a little bit. So who do you think they look at in the 2017 draft first round?
There are a lot of ways that they could go here, and it's really, at this point in the draft, there's always so many variables that come into play. For me, I think that they have to be looking at Matt Stafford as a still potent but narrowing window of opportunity to do things with. And so they're going to try and give him some help. And they're going to do that in the form of tight end David Njoku from Miami.
David Njoku of Miami. What do you think about that, Kevin? You like that pick?
I really like David Njoku going to the Detroit Lions. He's number two tight end on my board and athletic freak. And he's going to be another weapon for Matt Stafford because Eric Ebron simply could not be trusted the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and Njoku's fit with this Lions team is so much fun with Matt Stafford, who I love to watch as a gunslinging type of quarterback, getting a photo ball to a modern, you know, NFL tight end, which is what Njoku out of Miami absolutely is, a guy that can split out wide for you, but also line up at tight end, has some functional strength to be a blocker at the tight end position, which they'll need for the Lions team that's trying to improve their running game as well. But throwing the ball into Njoku is going to go well for Matt Stafford and this Lions offense. I love the pick.
All right, Kevin, we're up to you with number 22, and that's going to be for the Miami Dolphins. You are on the clock, sir.
Yeah, so two of the last three picks have been offensive linemen, so I'm going to make it three of the last four. Forrest Lamp is the number one offensive lineman in this class, in my opinion. So Forrest Lamp out of Western Kentucky is the pick here. The Dolphins had an atrocious offensive line two seasons ago. They drafted Laremy Tunsil last season. They still need a lot of help on the inside, and they need to be able to move Tunsil to tackle full-time. Jermon Bushrod was rough. Lamp comes in now, replaces him, and he starts solidifying it and helping Ryan Tannehill.
Jess, what do you think about Lamp going out to Miami?
I love Lamp.
We all love Lamps.
I love Lamp.
Well, Sean, let's go ahead and go on to you. We got number 23 with the New York Giants, and I'm curious to see if you can manage to send a running back to all the NFC East teams.
If you can't beat them, join them. The 2016 Cowboys won this division after drafting Ezekiel Elliott, a running back out of Ohio State. Of course, we all know what happened to him as the Dallas Cowboys' fourth overall pick. So let's give running backs to everybody else in the NFC East. Leonard Fournette is still sitting here for the Giants. And to me, guys, that's really just a match made in heaven type of pick. I mean, they need a guy like this. There's even been speculation here about the Giants using this pick potentially on a quarterback replacement for the future towards Eli Manning, but nonetheless, they have some good years left of Eli Manning. Extend his career and also help out whoever that future quarterback might be if you get him on the roster soon enough with a running back and Leonard Fournette that can turn the Giants' running game from just abysmal at times and putting all that pressure on a passing game with Odell Beckham to a focal point of an offense that'll be that much better under Ben McAdoo, who we know knows how to run a great offense, and he's going to be able to use Leonard Fournette.
Kevin, what do you think about that? Running backs going to all of the Cowboys' main opponents there, the division rivals.
Well, as a Cowboy fan, I hate all three of the picks. I don't want to see Leonard Fournette. You're talking about an offense now with Odell Beckham, who, I mean, could possibly, he's definitely a top three wide receiver in the NFL right now. Yeah. Now added Brandon Marshall. I mean, we'll see how that works personality-wise with those two. But still, on paper, two very talented players. And now Leonard Fournette in the backfield. And to be honest with you, Eli, since what, Tiki Barber, Brandon Jacobs, when was the last time he really had a running back? And I would argue Fournette can be much better than those two. So, good pick.
Well, yeah. And, you know, Cowboys fans can still be excited when it comes to Odell Beckham Jr. because, you know, the Nets still 1-0.
Net undefeated.
That's right. All right, Jess, we've got the Oakland Raiders, soon to be, and I love this, soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders. Who do you got on your board for number 24?
For the Raiders, I am going to take a guy who in many ways does the same things that Khalil Mack does, and that's never a bad thing. in your front seven, to have two versatile defensive players who can both rush the passer and do things like a linebacker in coverage. I am going to take Hassan Reddick, who is a linebacker slash smallest defensive end kind of prospect out of Temple. I think that with him and Mack on both sides of your defense, you're going to be able to just add a lot of defensive explosive power on top of what they already have on offense to contend in the AFC.
I love that pick. That's a great pick for a Raiders defense that can absolutely use the versatility that a player like Hassan Reddick brings. He's a guy that's really interesting to project, you know, at the next level. He's a blur watching him on tape for the Temple front seven, where they used him more than I think any NFL team, and in this case the Raiders, are going to use him as a hand in the dirt defensive end and left defensive end pass rusher. But nonetheless, Reddick can go stand up and make plays at Sam linebacker. I think he'll hold up just fine right there in the NFL as one of the more athletic Sam linebackers probably in the entire league stepping onto the field. And then he can also rush the passer as a defensive end, adding to a Raiders pass rush that's already pretty terrifying.
And Mr. Brady, we got you at 25 for the Houston Texans. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, so with the 25th overall pick, we're going to trade it to CBS Sports, and we're going to get Tony Romo to play quarterback. Now. But, I mean, realistically, Houston absolutely needs a quarterback. And I think with Clemson's Deshaun Watson falling down the board this far, I know Sean is going to hate the pick because he thinks Watson should be an undrafted free agent or something. But
you're taking a fourth-round player at 25. It's okay.
But Houston's got a little quarterback, and it might be a reach in some people's minds to take a quarterback in the first round at all, but the bottom line is it's the most important position in football right now, and Houston doesn't have one. So they gotta try to make it work. So I'm going to say Clemson's Deshaun Watson is the pick, 25th overall.
I don't know. Texans do need to get a little bit of an upgrade on their quarterback, but I don't know if that does it. What about you, Jess? You think that will handle their problem?
I think he's better than Tom Savage, and for a team that was already in the playoffs last year with Croc Osweiler and Savage at quarterback, why not get the upgrade, see what he can do? I really don't think he could do anything to hurt you compared to what you had last year.
Yeah, when you come out as bad as you did, as the Texans did last year at quarterback, you really don't have much to go but up. So, Sean, we're going to put you on at a team that does not need a quarterback with the Seattle Seahawks at number 26. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, there's one guy I have in mind that I think would be a perfect pick. I'm just browsing the board in terms of who else might still be available at this point, who might have slid down one spot thanks to Kevin just taking a fourth-round player away from us. So, the Seahawks have needs on defense. To be honest, I haven't drafted, you know, all that well to protect this defense. You have to, you know, when you build a great unit in the National Football League like they did at so many spots on the defense, you have to protect it by adding depth in the draft, and they haven't done it as well as they probably hoped. So this is a team that has a need for the young talent that's present to them, especially in the secondary and probably at safety at the back end of this first round. And looking at this, I think it lines up pretty well. I'm going to go ahead and take Alabama's Marlon Humphrey, a guy that I think projects as a safety, even though he played cornerback at Alabama, but he's better with the ball in front of him, and he'll just go run around and hit people like the Seahawks secondary seems to do every single year. And if you need him to play cornerback, well, he's experienced enough to do that, and I trust him enough to do that. Marlon Humphrey, Alabama.
I like that pick a lot, especially in light of the issues they have right now with Richard Sherman. Adding a cornerback just makes a lot of sense across the board. Humphrey is a very good talent for the 26th pick.
All righty, and Jess, we're going to continue with you for the Kansas City Chiefs with the 27th overall pick.
Well, stuff gets interesting here with Kansas City, because we know that Alex Smith is definitely not long for the NFL world, and we know the importance that Andy Reid puts on the quarterback position in his offense, and I think that they go ahead and use this opportunity to take somebody to start to prepare for a change at that position. And I'm going to go with the next best guy up, which is Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech.
Patrick Mahomes. All right, so we finally get some quarterbacks coming off this board. Kevin, what do you think of Mahomes going down there to Kansas City?
Well, I agree that it's got to be a quarterback, and I know I'm alone on this in this room, but if I'm Kansas City or if I'm Houston, I think more realistically, because I think that Deshaun Watson's going to go much earlier than he did here. I'm taking Deshaun Kizer out of Notre Dame, and I'm not really looking back, because I think Kizer can get a year on the bench behind Alex Smith, maybe 2 years if needed, work with Andy Reid, and I think his ceiling could be quarterback one in this class. I love his pocket presence. I love how, I mean, he has accuracy issues, but I love his arm strength, his decision-making, and I think he could be a good quarterback.
Okay, so we've got the first 27 picks in the books, and that actually went a little bit quicker. We're at just under an hour so far, and now we're going to get to the one pick that we're going to take the most time on, and that is going to be for the Dallas Cowboys. Big shocker, right? All right, number 28. And this one we're going to do a little bit differently. In this particular case, we're going to have each of the guys, they're going to discuss what guy they like for the Cowboys at number 28 based on who's still on the board. And when it comes down to it, I'm going to make the pick. But these guys are going to have to convince me. We're going to go a little bit American Idol style here and have a judge, and we're going to go with it that way. So let's go ahead and continue our order, and let's say Kevin goes first. Who do you like for Dallas at number 28, Kevin?
Well, in a lot of ways, this is almost a dream scenario, the way this board has fallen. There's a lot of top edge talent left. I mean, there's almost all of the corners remaining. You're talking about like maybe Kevin King out of Washington or Garen Conley out of Ohio State. But I'm going to ride for TJ Watt of Wisconsin. And I think he's the best edge remaining, besides maybe Derek Rivers, but we're not going to take him in round one. Sorry, Sean. I think TJ Watt, his athletic profile is similar to a lot of the guys we've seen Dallas target and miss out on, someone like Leonard Floyd or Anthony Barr. Some might think he's more of a 3-4 outside linebacker, maybe even a 4-3 Sam, like an Hassan Reddick type player. But I think he could be a 4-3 right defensive end, and I think he's shown that he has the pass rushing repertoire and to do it, and I like him there.
Sean, who are you looking at?
I think that Missouri defensive end, Charles Harris, is what all those Cowboys fans are talking about TJ Watt want him to be. I think that Charles Harris is the better player of the two, and I think he's a perfect pick for the Cowboys to come be that right defensive end, primarily, you know, first and foremost, because this is the state of the Cowboys defensive line right now without a guy like Harris. He actually played right defensive end in college. We're not talking about, you know, a guy that's going to have to be projected at a new position. He's not making even the jump from left to right defensive end. He is a true come off the ball and rush after the quarterback off that right side, Charles Harris. And what teams are going to love about him, no matter where he lands, either in this first round or towards the top of the second round, rather, teams are going to absolutely love the fact that he has three or four different ways that he can win against offensive tackles to get to the quarterback. I don't know how many other guys, besides even Myles Garrett, that we can say can do that out of the edge rushers in this draft class. Charles Harris has a counter move, a spin move that's just ridiculously fun to watch on tape, and a power move as well to the inside. He has a lot of ways that he can find his way around the quarterback next year in the NFC East for the Cowboys, and I think that Charles Harris is an easy pass rusher to take here at 28.
And, you know, Kevin, I might have missed this with you, but with TJ Watt, I mean, he's a linebacker, so, I mean, do you have him converting? Because I don't know a whole lot about what he's got in college there, if he was in a 3-4 or 4-3.
I mean, he was rushing the quarterback a lot from where he'd be with the Cowboys, and I don't think he'll have much of a problem putting his hand in the dirt full-time, especially in pass-rushing situations.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, guys have gone from standing up to getting down in the dirt and still getting off the line. I mean, of course, you got to bring up DeMarcus Ware. He's one of the best at that. Even it didn't matter which position he was playing. So there's that. But I do agree that a true defensive end may be something more that we need in Dallas. Jess, what's your take at number 28?
Joe Mixon, running back out of Oklahoma.
Seriously?
You're fired.
Whoa.
No.
I was fixing to say, I've got walking papers right here, bud.
No.
I was going to draft Mixon. I'm convinced that Mixon's is going to go by tonight.
No, I will. I'm going to say that I completely agree with one of my colleagues here, and it ain't the guy who picked TJ Watt. personally, I think that if TJ Watt's name was Craig Smith out of, you know, whatever, he would not have the same stock in this
TCNJ.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of last name boost to his profile in this draft, which it, you know, happens all the time with guys who were have famous brothers. Look at all the Gronkowskis who have jobs around the NFL.
The Bennett.
But for me, I think that Charles Harris just makes so much sense here. It almost feels like we've done this by design because Harris has been linked to the Cowboys now, seemingly since mock draft started this year. So it feels like the culmination of everything that we've talked about with the draft for months. I agree with everything Sean said about Harris being a natural fit, someone who can step right in to this position of need at right defensive end for the Cowboys. It's the only way to go.
We've got to keep in mind that, you know, all three of you guys are doing mock drafts and you're writing articles and reviewing some of these draft guys for InsideTheStar.com. So I know that for number 28 for the Cowboys, you guys have a certain expectation. But as we're going through this mock draft, different guys are falling to where we may not expect them. And I'm looking at names like Jordan Willis and Carl Lawson. And I'm wondering, does the availability of either of those players make you look a little higher than a Charles Harris, perhaps?
I was able to mock Jordan Willis with the 60th overall pick in my seven round mock draft that came out Sunday at InsideTheStar.com. And, you know, in comparing Willis to seemingly what it is now, Harris, who we're considering here at 28, you know, Harris, again, is that true right rusher that's explosive, is fast, and, you know, we don't have to worry about all the things when it comes to this defensive line, hearing about Rob Marinelli loving his try-hard guys and all that. You know, that's a little bit of what you see in Willis. No, Harris is going to come here and get around that corner and put pressure on the quarterback consistently. Willis is more of that left defensive end, hold the point of attack, and then every couple other plays, he'll have some flashes where he's able to capture the corner, and then sometimes he finds his way back to the ball. Other times he's getting pushed behind the pocket far too often. I do like Carl Lawson. I do think we need to talk about him as the pick here, though. Carl Lawson, much more of a versatile edge rusher that the Cowboys could consider.
I think Jordan Willis is in the conversation here in the Cowboys war room, but ultimately I think the Cowboys pass on him. I don't think his tape is as good as some of the other remaining edge rushers, including Carl Lawson, who I don't even think the Cowboys... I don't think the Cowboys are going to think twice about passing on Carl Lawson just because of... I mean, a lot of it is his arm length and his height. I mean, he's undersized for what the Cowboys are going to want as an edge rusher lengthwise. Jordan Willis can end up in the first round. I think 31 to the Falcons is a place that they might look, but I think the Cowboys brought him in more as a second-round player.
And what were you going to say before I interrupted you there?
I wanted to address Jess's point about TJ Watt and possibly elevating because of his name. And I want to say that I think that is happening in a lot of circles. I think that's possible. But I went into this, I think, honestly, expecting the other way. I didn't want to love him that much. And I went into it thinking like, oh, it's because he's a Watt. People want to think he's good. But, I mean, at 6'4", 252, incredible arm length. He is the, you know, as we say on Twitter, hashtag team body type of the modern day edge, that Vic Beasley type of edge rusher. And maybe Charles Harris is that. I'm not mad about drafting Charles Harris whatsoever. He showed that he has the best inside counter move possibly of anybody in this entire draft class, so I'm not mad at that. But Watts, his hand fighting, he was great on twists. I like his ability to use his leverage to his advantage, and I think with some work from Rob Marinelli, he's going to end up being a really good player if that is the pick in the first round.
And Jess, what's your take on those other guys?
I think that, honestly, you know, you said something about Harris maybe like being a little further down the board than some other guys who are available, and I get that just depends on the board you're looking at, because I'm working off one right now where the only other pass rusher who's out there who's rated higher than Harris is Tim Williams out of Alabama. Personally, I don't like the idea of taking any defensive players from Alabama because I feel like they all kind of elevate each other.
And you have the red flags of Williams.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking at one where Harris is the top guy on the board. And for me, I just like what he brings, his specific talents for what we do on defense. I will say that if any of the defensive backs who have already come off the board, cornerbacks Marshon Lattimore or Marlon Humphrey, or safeties Malik Hooker or Jamal Adams were still out there, I might have to consider taking one of them over any of the pass rushers.
And that was my next question, is looking at some of the cornerbacks who have gotten by. Because, I mean, the particular board we're looking at, we've got Tre'Davious White, we've got Jalen Tabor, we've got Quincy Wilson, Adoree Jackson, who's a name that's been popping up a lot lately. And the Cowboys, yeah, they do need some pass rush help, but they also lost their cornerbacks. So, I mean, they lost their cornerbacks and their safeties. So we also need something on the defensive backfield. And I'm wondering, Sean, what do you think about possibly – the Cowboys would go with a cornerback if these guys are available?
Well, I'm sure Jesse and Kevin are holding their breath waiting for me to put in a card for you to consider on T's Tabor. And I was thinking about it. There's no doubt that I, you know, considered T's Tabor as an option at cornerback for this team. I think his fit in Dallas would actually be really good. I think that him and Harris are the best scheme fits right now, as far as if you want a defensive end based on who we have available, guys, I think it has to be Charles Harris. And if we want a cornerback, I think it has to be T's Tabor ahead of a guy like Kevin King or anything like that. Maybe a Tre'Davious White as well. I think if it's down to Tabor and Watt, or Tabor and Harris, excuse me, on my board personally, Kevin's still pulling for Watt as a linebacker, edge rusher type of guy. And, you know, Tabor's definitely a guy you need to consider, though, because cornerback is a need on this team, and it doesn't matter what young pass rushers you get in here. If we know they don't usually make the biggest day one impact, it takes a little while for them to get going. And if this passing defense struggles, the Cowboys are certainly going to regress on that side of the ball.
And Jess, I'm going to come to you next. And the same question, but I want you to also factor in the safeties that are out there. You still got Justin Evans and Jabril Peppers, to name a couple. I mean, what pushes you towards defensive end for the Cowboys here if there are other good defensive backs available?
It's, well, I think it's because we've now crossed over into a tier of players whom I feel like I can get somebody at my second round pick who, you know, honestly for me, I don't like T's Tabor, but if he's in the conversation at this point, then there are a lot of other guys out there. I'm personally kind of a fan of Fabian Moreau out of UCLA, mm-hmm. and I think he's a guy who could be there at the 60th pick. And so that's just where I think we are now in the draft, is that there's a bunch of different guys who I feel like are all within the same tier of talent, and one of them is going to be there for me in the next round. A player like Charles Harris at defensive lineman will not.
And you know what I think I'm getting out of this is that you guys are saying that the names like T.J. Watt and Charles Harris, they're the type of guys who just aren't going to be available, even if we talk about the possibility of trading up in the second round. They're just not going to be available to get anything done. So maybe that's what we're coming down to, is that the players that will be available at 60, yeah, some of them are available right now, and there's going to be somebody who can fill a hole when it comes down to number 60. All right, so, Kevin, would you pretty much agree with that? I mean, are you still stuck on T.J. Watt, or would you consider anybody else?
I pretty much agree with that. To your first point about why we're not looking at defensive backs, I think these guys have hit the nail on the head for the most part. I also think that the top 30 visits that the Cowboys have had, it seems like they want to look at edge rusher first round, and then with the depth that this cornerback position brings in the draft, I think they're going to be able to get a good corner 60th overall. So I wouldn't be mad about Kevin King out of Washington, 28th overall, even though he's a bit of a project, possibly, or at least a projection based on his athletic profile. But I'm fine with any of the edge rushers here in round one.
All right. Well, taking everything into consideration and a little bit that I've read on InsideStar.com and some others, I'm kind of leaning towards that myself with Charles Harris. I think that Watt is too much of the joke pick going around right now, and I don't get the joke. I'll be honest with you. I really don't. I saw stuff going on last night with John Owning and Landon from Blogging the Boys, and they're going back and forth about that. It just doesn't seem like he's the fit that we need. We don't need to worry about trying to convert a linebacker to a defensive end. We need to get a guy who is familiar with the position, familiar with the struggles and the footwork and the timing, and Charles Harris just fits that. Now, I would consider Carl Lawson, but as I told you guys before, I'm going to stick with the picks you offered. And in this particular case, I think Charles Harris is the pick. I mean, there's just no way around taking Charles Harris if he's still on the board at number 28. Jess, would you agree with that?
I do, and I think that the biggest concern we should have at this point is that he might go before 28. Because if there is, the way this board is stacked up right now, if there is any sort of little more run on defensive end pass rusher type players, we could now be looking at being stuck with some of these other guys that we've talked about, and that would be a big letdown.
Charles Harris, I think, is something that I think that's somebody everybody can live with as far as 28. And that's, again, that may be an optimistic view if he's available there. But he's definitely a good fit for Dallas, and I think he could come in and make an immediate impact. So let's go ahead and continue. We've still got four picks left to go. And Kevin is next up at number 29 for the Green Bay Packers. Kevin?
Yeah. Packers, some heavy defensive needs, to say it lightly. Especially in the back end of their defense. I don't know if there's a safety available that I would take 29th overall. They could use another edge rusher, maybe Tyus Bowser out of Houston, but I think they're going to look towards corner, especially with the corner talent that's still on the board. And it's going to come down to Tre'Davious White out of LSU and Garion Conley out of Ohio State. And I'm going to say that they go with Trey White out of LSU. I think he brings some good length to the Packers secondary, and he's a sticky cover guy, and I think he'll fit right in.
Jess, what do you think of that pick?
It's a good one. That's a nice value there with White at number 29. There, you know, like I said, I think we've crossed over into a tier of players who are all sort of on the same level, and but he is one that sort of sticks out a little bit from the pack. So going to the pack.
All righty, and Sean, that puts you on the board next, and you're looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers with the 30th overall pick.
Yeah, the Steelers are a team that defensively, it's kind of hard to project some guys towards them. It's an interesting scheme that they run, of course, with the way they use their front seven and their linebackers in particular to get after their quarterback. And on that note, I see a player that can help them do that, and they can use a burst of talent off the edge, as well as a player that can play a little bit in coverage as a linebacker in Tyus Bowser. I also see, you know, linebacker Zach Cunningham on the board, who Cowboys fans listening will know Brian Broaddus, and Broaddus has Cunningham as a top five overall prospect in this draft. So to see him still sitting here almost makes you want to go BPA and fill a need at linebacker with him. But Jordan Willis sitting here at defensive end, there are options for the Steelers. I think I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on Tyus Bowser out of Houston. I see a guy with really good change of direction skills, a guy that's relentless, and a guy that's just reaching his full potential as a player in the NFL when it comes to getting after the quarterback, but he has all the potential in the world to be a really good fit for the Steelers at the back end of the first.
And Kevin, what do you think of Tyus Bowser?
I think it's a really solid pick. He's someone that's been a riser over the last couple of weeks especially. And I think he fits the Pittsburgh defensive scheme to a T.
Good, good. All right, Jess, you're up with the runner-up from last year, pick number 31, the Atlanta Falcons. And who are you looking at for the Falcons?
I think that Atlanta is going to try to work on solidifying the holes in their ship. They got enough guns, but they need to keep the hull intact if they're going to keep on cruising toward championships opportunities. So I am going to go with offensive lineman guard Deion Dawkins out of Temple.
You agree with that, Kevin?
I do think they need offensive line help, but I think this might be a little, 31 overall might be a little rich for Deion Dawkins. I think at this point in the draft with Atlanta, while they do need, like I said, offensive line help, especially on the interior, I think I would have looked edge rusher maybe to Derek Rivers or Jordan Willis.
As much as, I mean, we've just sat here and basically said that these were guys that we wouldn't be excited about for the Cowboys at 28. I mean, we're only three picks down from that. So to me, it seems like, you know, why should the Falcons be interested in these guys if they don't seem like they're really going to be much help?
Well, I think especially with the Jordan Willis option, I personally don't love Jordan Willis, but I think these NFL teams were, considering how he tested especially. I do love Derek Rivers, and I would like Derek Rivers 28th overall, and he's someone that fits what Dan Quinn has looked for in edge rushers. And Atlanta, right now, the way that their defense is set up, they are trying to build themselves like those Legion of Boom Seahawks teams. And while we remember those Seahawks teams for their secondary, really their depth on the defensive line is what made them so dominant in so many ways. So I think bringing in one of these guys, even if just as a depth, as a player of depth, I think it'd be a smart move.
All right, so we've got Deion Dawkins to bolster the offensive line for the Falcons. And next, that puts us up to the final pick of this round, and that's going to be for Kevin at number 32 for the New Orleans Saints. Who are you looking at there, Kevin?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one for the Saints because already went safety earlier in the draft with Buda Baker out of Washington. So don't necessarily need to take the secondary here, even though they do need corner help. So I'm looking at cornerbacks. They could also use an edge rusher, and someone like Derek Rivers would fit nicely. But I'm going to go with the corner, and I'm going to keep beefing up that secondary, and I'm going to take Garyon Conley out of Ohio State, a guy that has gotten even some top 10 hype from some draft analysts. So I think at 32nd overall, it'd be a solid pick.
Garyon Conley. Sean, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm relatively dumbfounded that Kevin passed on Derek Rivers and an opportunity to, you know, end our night with Derek Rivers. But nonetheless, I really like Garyon Conley. I've already talked about him actually out of Ohio State throughout the night with some earlier picks in this draft. And, you know, considering Conley, just because of how high his floor is as a prospect to come in with some really good cover skills. But I didn't have any picks to pull the trigger on with Conley. I drafted Buda Baker, though, over to the Saints, so they get a really rangy safety and an athletic player at that, and just a solid cover corner to close out this round. And Garyon Conley, Buda Baker up at 12, and I think that's a really good job by Kevin right there.
I will say, the one player I struggled with the most taking Conley over is actually running back Joe Mixon, and I think he's the best running back available by far, and the Saints could use some running back help, and I think Mixon would be a solid pick there, but overall, I like beefing up the secondary.
What do you think of that, Jess?
I agree. I'm not sure about taking a safety at 11 and then a corner at 32. That may be a little bit of a stretch, but I don't know what other direction I would really say other than this is another team where the whole aspect of an aging quarterback might come into play. They don't really have anyone behind Drew Brees at this point who is projecting to be the future. And so, you know, could this be a spot where DeShone Kizer might go? Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
I think if Patrick Mahomes would have fallen, I think it would have been interesting to see that, because I think I've seen Mahomes mocked to the Saints a few times, and I think Sean Payton might look at Mahomes and say, yeah, I can work with that, especially with the big arm. So,
yeah, I think that the teams that have two first-round picks like this, you know, they were able to address a roster need at 11. Having this second first-round pick is a bit of a luxury where maybe you can try and, you know, cast the dice out on one of these quarterback prospects.
All right, and here in the end of the first round, this is maybe where we see, I know Cleveland got a quarterback in this mock, but this is maybe where we see a team like Cleveland or a team like San Francisco or Chicago trying to jump back into the end of the first for a quarterback to get that fifth year.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking there, is that we don't even know that New Orleans would keep this pick because it is in that spot where you're talking about the first round. And, of course, we also have to remember there's another part of the strategy for picking a player in the first round when you get to these last few picks, is that you get that fifth-year option on their rookie contract from them being in the first round. And a lot of guys do like to take advantage of that with the quarterbacks and the running backs and the bigger-name skill positions so that it works better for their salary caps and all that. So I just kind of want to know what your overall impressions are as you look over this this tracker that we've set up for all 32 picks. What stands out to you?
I think that this draft stands out in terms of some of the unpredictable things that happened. Malik Hooker going second sort of started that theme throughout the night. But then we also had O.J. Howard at 4. Which was a bit of a surprise. Derek Barnett being the going in the top 10. That's probably, and McKinley right after. I mean, that's going to throw some people. So there were quite a few unpredictable things. But really, if you go back through and look at what the alternatives were, I mean, other than quarterbacks going a little higher, I don't know what else could have really been different. So this is going to be a very unpredictable draft, I think, in real time as well as our mock.
And Kevin?
Yeah, to echo what Jess just said, a lot of unpredictable picks here, like O.J. Howard at 4, like Barnett and McKinley in the top 10, Buda Baker at 11. And while it was unpredictable and there were some picks, some positions that went in the top 10, like two safeties, a tight end, where you're like, is that position worthy of a top 10 pick when you have quarterbacks and offensive tackles on the board? But considering the talent in this class, that's... It's probably going to happen on draft day, so it's going to be interesting, and it's one of those draft classes where you have a really good top 100, but maybe not a solid top 10, if that makes any sense. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out.
Absolutely, and, you know, personally, I kind of like the way this looks because it appears as though we're going over this based on just team need, you know, no agendas, no preferences, none of that, just... looking at the team's roster and where they've lacked in, you know, the last couple of years and saying, hey, this guy would bring them something that they don't have. What about you, Sean? Would you agree with a statement like that?
Absolutely. I agree as well with Kevin in saying that this is a draft where maybe you don't have a set amount of players that are going to go right in that top 10. 8 of our first top 10 picks were on the defensive side of the ball, though. It's because you have so much talent defensively, and I think that, guys, my overall closing thought on this is just that the defensive talent throughout this entire draft and in the first round, I think we did a really good job showcasing where these defensive players can go and just showing off where some of these really talented defenders can go help some teams, even as far as, you know, 28th overall with a Charles Harris to the Cowboys and some other guys, Tyus Bowser to the Steelers as well, Gerrion Conway being our last pick, McKinley and Barnett in the top 10. Defensively, you really get a good feel doing this in person, doing this live through each pick, how teams are going to upgrade on that side of the ball.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening, and I just want to make sure you guys all know how to follow, you know, the guys who they worked really hard for the last couple of weeks, you know, scouting everybody and getting their draft boards together and have come in to try to give you a real look at how this could go, and we'll see what happens with it. Again, it's an unpredictable draft class because there is no set top 10. I love the way Kevin said that. Well, there's a really good top 100, but there is no real top 10, so things could change a lot when it comes down to the draft day and, you know, look at trades that may happen. Is that something we didn't want to get into here? But be sure to follow Kevin Brady on Twitter. He is at KevinBrady88. He's obviously a... Pearson/Irving/Bryant fan, and you know, we can't, of course we can't forget Antonio Bryant. You know, that's his namesake, that's his boy right there, it's his dog. But
of course.
Yeah, that's at KevinBrady88, and Sean is Shore Sports NJ, like New Jersey. And Jess is going to be on Twitter at Cowboys Addicts. And you can also follow his page on Facebook if you do like that. Of course, you got the Inside the Star page, which is at Inside the Star. But then there's his page for at Dallas Cowboys Addicts. Just want to throw that in there. And these guys are busy every day posting new stuff on InsideTheStar.com. And Kevin and Sean are getting some new scout reports out there, as well as some that they're getting out that may not be of particular interest to the Cowboys, but get them out on SlantSports.com. So be sure to keep up with that. And again, it's just been fun. We like going over this stuff. Hope you guys enjoyed doing the mock draft with me tonight. Have a good one, and go Cowboys. Star Podcast is brought to you by InsideTheStar.com and Slant Sports Digital.